You know, yesterday was really the first day he'd done anything in 3 days. He breezed on Monday at Churchill Downs. He walked on Tuesday. He shipped on Wednesday. And so he was pretty fresh yesterday. But the other thing that happened yesterday is they didn't put the earplugs in. And that mistake was not made today. they put the earplugs in. He was so between yesterday being a little fresher and not having earplugs, whereas today having gotten in a gallop yesterday and having the earplugs in, he was more in control. But there was certainly nothing wrong with what he did yesterday. He just was, I think, touting himself as still feeling very good, and I thought he looked great again today. And I mean, he'll run his race tomorrow. He's based on what I've seen.
Yesterday, it was very notable how he accelerated down the stretch too. I mean, that was the finish. The finish was actually the kind of finish you'd want. That whatever it was, whether it was the sound of some horses, which is what Baffert thought, and the traffic on the track. But he went by with a whoosh.
Yeah, no, he saw some horses that had come up inside of him breezing, and he was like, he wanted to go after him. And so that was what that was all about yesterday.
Jay, as we introduce all of these conversations, when we knock on the door of a Triple Crown try, let's kind of bring all the storylines together. And there's been a lot made of the ownership issues and the silks, but none of that matters as much as the 10 horses that'll light up tomorrow and how they got here and what happens in those 2 minutes and 26 seconds or so.
Yeah, I mean, it should be a terrific race.
Breakdown, I've been asking kind of a similar question all week. Breakdown, what happens if he's a winner, and what could go wrong if he doesn't win?
Well, I mean, he wins if he runs the kind of races that he's been running. You know, the thing, to me, it's his race to win or lose, and the only thing that would get him beat would be if the cumulative effect of all the racing that he's had in a short amount of time catches up with him in the final 3/16 of a mile. I mean, that to me is the situation. I think there's only one horse who could possibly beat him, and that's Hofburg. I'm very chalky in this race. It's not for me a gambling race in any stretch, unlike the Preakness where I had a gambling opinion. I don't here. To me, it's either going to be Justify winning the Triple Crown or him getting caught late by Hofburg, and I just see no other scenario unfolding in this race based on the ability of these horses and the way they've trained.
What do you expect Mike Smith to do with the draw down inside and how to best handle this opportunity from where it's going to start?
Well, to me, it didn't matter where he drew. He should go for the lead. But now, to me, there's no other option. You're drawn inside. You should just go. I mean, there's no need to get cute and try and do the big brown ride or something like that. You might as well just go. Noble Indy should be forwardly placed. I know that Rapoli wants that horse into the race early. But being co-owned by Windstar, as is Justify, it would be hard to imagine them getting into a duel that would go really quick the middle part of the race and set it up for somebody from behind. I think you'll see a decent, normal kind of pace. I mean, because Justify is kind of a free-running horse. You don't want to throttle him down to 50, I don't think. You just want to let him cruise along at, 48 and 3 or whatever. That kind of quick 24, and then gallop him home. To me, the real wild card, Steve, that I'm curious what they're going to do strategy-wise is Bravazo, because he does have enough early speed to be up there, especially going a mile and a half. I mean, he's not a rocket ship out of the gate, but he's certainly a forwardly placed horse, and I'd like to think that he's going to put a little there's the potential for him to put a little pressure on Justify as well. I don't think anybody else in the race can keep up with him. I've heard some chatter that, Restoring Hope. I don't know what racing form or other PPs people were looking at where they have somehow come to the conclusion that Restoring Hope is groovy. He's just not fast. He's not part of the pace. And I don't know the people. I've seen some people speculating on that. It's like, I don't know how you come up with that. But anyway, so I don't think it's going to be a fast pace. I think Bravazo and Noble Indy are the only ones who can go with him. And like I said, to me, it's his race to lose. He looks fantastic. I've been doing this a long time. I've seen plenty of horses that you can see it's starting to wear on him by now. I see nothing. I mean, he looks really good.
It almost, I made the suggestion yesterday, it almost is, the case could be made that he's thriving with this gauntlet.
It's not an impossible theory to have. You know, we'll see tomorrow, but it's certainly not an impossible theory to have on how he's done. I mean, he's a big, strong horse, and there's certainly a case that can be made for that being what's going on here.
Well, Bob Baffert, with the potential to invoke yet another historic sidebar, this time Sonny Jim Fitzsimmons, with a potential second Triple Crown training accomplishment. And Baffert's career isn't ending tomorrow either.
No.
He's going to get some more opportunities.
I mean, win or lose tomorrow. I did a feature on him earlier in the week. It ran in the Thursday form. You know, he really is compiling a record that people are going to look back on as one of the great Triple Crown race records of all time. I mean, he goes into tomorrow's race with 14 Triple Crown race victories, which ties him for number one with Lucas. If, as you said, he wins the Belmont tomorrow, he'd stand alone with 15 Triple Crown race wins. Nobody else would have that. He'd also join Sonny Jim Fitzsimmons as having two Triple Crown sweeps with twice in his career. And, you know, Sonny Jim Fitzsimmons is rightly looked at as one of the all-time greats. And you're seeing, you know, we might be looking at something right now in our current times of something that people are going to look back on later and go like, oh my God, that guy was, you know, something else. And his Triple Crown race record is phenomenal.
Very much.
And, I mean, he's now the co-owner of the most Preakness wins with somebody who last Preakness win came in 1888, R. Wyndham Walden. He's got five Derby wins, which if they hadn't played games with Citation the week of the Derby and put him in Ben Jones's name, which they did, because Citation ran 45 times. 43 starts were for Jimmy Jones, who actually trained him. The week of the Kentucky Derby, Citation ran twice, ran in the Derby trial, and then a few days later the Derby. They put him in Ben Jones's name because at the time, the record for Derby wins was held by Derby Dick Thompson with 4. And that win with Citation gave Ben Jones, at the time, his 4th Derby win. He did win 2 more after that. But if that horse had stayed in his rightful place as being trained by Jimmy Jones, Baffert would now be tied with Ben Jones for most Derby wins. And the other thing that I wrote about in the story on Baffert earlier this week that I think is a phenomenal achievement is that all 5 of Baffert's Derby winners came back and won the Preakness. And when you look at all the trainers that have had multiple Derby wins,
yep,
and their record coming back in the Preakness, I mean, nobody comes close to that. It's, you know, it's something else.
Well, it speaks to the fact that his horses just arrive at this juncture, I mean, so fit and so ready for the task.
Yep.
Not everything can go their way, but you think about Point Given and the hoof and the pace, and you know, things can go wrong. But no doubt, it's stunning. Jay, before we wrap, not going to let you miss an opportunity to put money in people's pockets again. You've done it in Churchill. You did it at Pimlico. Who do we like elsewhere on the cards?
You know, I haven't honestly, Steve,
done the full work. Okay.
Sometimes you've got that
one that you've seen and you're feeling good about.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like I've been watching. I mean, I've been so focused on just the Belmont Stakes this week, and like I said earlier, it's not a race for me to gamble on. I do want to, you know, take a look at some of these other races. I'm kind of interested in McCracken in the Met Mile a little bit. I think he's got a decent shot at double digits. You know, I do think he's a, you know, horse who came off a layoff and won nicely, and I think he'll move forward off of that race. So I, you know, he's a horse I'm interested in having a little bit of a gamble on tomorrow at what I think will be a decent enough price. So
we had Ian and Tracy yesterday to start the show, actually, and we laughed about your note, you know, a year too late when it came to Derby weekend and McCracken's win. But it feels like, you know, Ian has found the right, you know, what the assignment and the distance and the configuration for him.
No, I mean, that's what he is. And I'll tell you what's really going to be right up his alley later on this year is the dirt mile at Churchill Downs, where he's got an unbelievable record, and it's a one-turn mile there.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, that's obviously going to be his long-term goal. So I might fool around a little bit with him.
Well, the Met always engaging in this group of 11. Horses really coming from all over the place, including Bolt Oro. We have the throwback idea,
sure,
of a three-year-old, you know, getting the weight break, coming off some hot works at Keeneland, and he's got some fans that are going to get back to him.
No, I think I like the move, actually. You get weight. You know, I think the distance is more suitable for him. Obviously, he's got to run against older horses, but that's why he gets weight. But I think the trade-off here is a good one. I mean, he's not obviously, or it seems to be at least at this point in his career, a horse who wants a mile and a quarter. So I thought skipping the Preakness and the Belmont was a smart move after what we saw in the Kentucky Derby. And I think this cutback in distance can serve him well. You know, obviously, this is a real strong field of older horses. But I think this is a good move in terms of where he is right now, and when you get in with the lightest impost, it's like, you know, why not take a shot?
I agree.
This race?
I completely agree, and I'm surprised more people don't do it, especially with it being moved a week later from its Memorial Day slot. Anybody coming out of Triple Crown season, you know, the timing would work. It feels like a smart move by Mick Ruiz. A lot of West Coast connections, Jay, dotting these entries the 3 days.
Yeah, no, you've got Abel Tasman, Opportunity, Spectator, you know, the Ransom the Moon has come in. There's a number of horses from California that are be well represented. American Gal runs today, so we'll see how they do.
Jay Privman, DRF Privman, folks, on Twitter, and of course Jay will have the comprehensive and definitive Triple Crown season story and follows tomorrow early evening and Sunday. And Jay, as always, we've gone the Derby watch to Triple Crown watch, and thanks for everything.
Thank you, Steve, very much. Thanks for the bagel.
Pumpernickel sesame, kind of a knuckle curve. Jay Privman, everybody. Let's do this. We'll take a break right here, and we'll come back. And Chris Kay going to join us. And we'll get our annual Belmont Stakes weekend and more or less the invocation towards summer, Stars and Stripes, and toward Saratoga, of course, and lots to talk. And, of course, there's plenty going on right here on this property. We'll get some updates. And the really cool sidebar to the weekend, the new Triple Crown trophy that was commissioned after American Pharoah, and a new trophy that will be not just on display, but potentially delivered on the spot to a potential Triple Crown winner. We're live at Belmont, and we've got a big morning ahead. We've already visited with Andy Beyer and Jay Privman. Later, Ed DeRosa, who's here, and we'll patch in Scully on the phone. Hammer will be here. Rick Hammerly, of course, from Santa Anita, and Jimmy Ventura. In fact, I'm surprised I haven't seen them yet this morning. Nick Tamaro, who is in town now as well. Joe Metka and Pete Fornatel. They'll be back top of the hour. And we'll reach out and connect with hopefully some of the other regulars who we haven't heard from, Tony Black and Rich Eng in particular. Johnny, who is heading up to rural Connecticut for his seminar and activity tomorrow. So we'll get a survey from everybody toward the tremendous card. Already one great day of racing in the books today. First post, 12:50. And the 11 race card that features the Naira Betts Pick 5 carryover, 63,000, and the Pick 6 carryover as well. And Pick 6 sequence daunting, starting in race 6, 3:36. And there's Jimmy Ventura. The pick 5 starts at 4:08. So you also have the two doubles, the two two-day doubles. And the Belmont Gold Cup, the two-mile turf race, hooks up with the Belmont. And the New York, for the Phillies and Mariners on the grass, hooks up with the Met. So two-day doubles for your gambling pleasure. Let's take a break. Come right back. Chris Kay joins us, and I'm going to be embarrassed to ask. I don't know the sculptor's name. Roberto Santo. It's like two jockeys that have been melded into one person. Smelted. We'll take a quick break and come right back to Belmont Park, Sirius XM. And, of course, HRRN will take you, pick up the ball and run later this afternoon and through tomorrow here on the network. Back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio. Can Justify complete his historic run to the Triple Crown in the Belmont Stakes? Find out on Saturday, June 9th. And if you're looking for a way to bet the Belmont, look no further than ExpressBet.com. ExpressBet provides legal online and mobile wagering on more than 300 tracks, including Belmont Park. And this year, ExpressBet has its own Triple Crown of Belmont Stakes promotions you can't afford to pass up. First, new customers can sign up to receive up to a $500 welcome bonus. And once you have an account, you can cash in on a pair of our most popular promotions. Get your money back in the Belmont Stakes if your horse finishes second or third, and hit big at a 10% Exacta bonus throughout the entire Belmont Stakes card. Plus, ExpressBet's free Belmont Stakes wager guide is now available. Don't forget to check back on Friday, June 8th to get Eddie Olchick's Belmont picks exclusively online at ExpressBet. Ready to start betting? Check out ExpressBet.com to learn more and sign up for an account today. And don't forget to bet the Belmont Stakes on Saturday, June 9th.
Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal, void, or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired, PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Hi, John Parada here, inviting you to join me in the Dublin Racing Club, along with friends like Steve Bick and Tom Durkin. If you have an interest in Ireland and horse racing, it's the best way to be involved with both. So log on now to DublinRacingClub.com and come join us at one of Ireland's 26 racetracks.
The Dublin Racing Club is designed to introduce racing fans to the ownership experience by participating in the sport in Ireland. For more information on the Dublin Racing Club, log on to DublinRacingClub.com.
This is Steve Cole from the Cole Ranch, a horse farm and training center located in California. We offer folks the chance to join hands with us to own a young racehorse from our farm. We're dramatically different compared to most popular racing partnerships because we don't charge fees or commissions, and we don't inflate the value of the horse. Most racing partnerships buy a horse at auction for, say, $100,000, then turn around and sell shares for $200,000. We value our horses realistically and don't add on fees or commissions. Right now, Cole Ranch is selling shares in a 2-year-old calibred colt named Mr. Wickham. He's by Heatseeker out of Serena's Echo, our stakes-producing mare, who is a full sister to multimillionaire Thor's Echo. You can get into this horse for as little as $1,000, which will entitle you to a 5% interest. If you want to invest in this horse, please call me at area code 805-990-3669 or visit us on the web at thecoleranch.com.
Breaking down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing. This is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Feeling like a boss and staring at the stars. It doesn't matter the cost, cause everybody wants to be famous. Some call the shots, so see you over a month. It doesn't matter the cost.
We're back at the races. And certainly a Triple Crown winner, famous, and got a famous sculptor with us, as mentioned as we were going to the break, Roberto Santo, who fashioned this new Triple Crown trophy, and happy, as always, to welcome in Chris Kay as well. Roberto, welcome.
Thank you very much.
I'm glad you're here. Pleasure. And Chris, always great to get a few minutes to talk about how things are going.
And things are going very, very well. It's always a pleasure to have you here.
We've had a tremendous week and a half, and it'll culminate with today's racing and then tomorrow. And everything has really fallen into place, including the weather. So all the people that were carrying on and putting pictures up of weather forecasts, you lose. We're going to make it through tomorrow without rain. So everything has kind of come together. And you know, this story came together when we talk about Justify. Given that in the beginning of February, horse hadn't run. And next thing we look up, and he's ripping off wins to start his career, the Santa Anita Derby, and then through Kentucky and Baltimore. And here we are. And, Chris, in terms of preparations and some of the nuts and bolts, any post-American Pharoah learning and applications toward tomorrow?
Well, you know, actually, things went very well for during the American Pharoah year, and we always try to. Sorry about that. We always try to improve. Our mantra is continuous improvement. So we have some of the same things in place that we had before. We meet with over 100 now senior law enforcement officers to make sure things go smoothly with people coming in and leaving, and the traffic flow is correct. We still have some tickets for sale. So if your people are listening. It's going to be a beautiful day, lots of entertainment. Please come out and see a wonderful piece of history. In addition, we also have the same kind of lineup for entertainment. So we'll have Third Eye Blind performing before the Belmont and for a one-hour concert afterwards. Before the Manhattan, we'll shine a bright light on Broadway, and the cast from a Broadway hit play, A Bronx Tale, will be here to perform. And before the Metropolitan, it's going to be very cool. We always love to salute the men and women of the United States Military Academy at West Point. And the superintendent will be here, as well as a number of other generals. And we're also going to shine a bright light on a wonderful organization called Home for Vets that either builds homes or renovates homes for veterans who have lost limbs protecting our freedoms.
Oh, wow.
And then we're going to have a flyover. It's going to be a historical flyover with jets from different eras. So it's going to be a fantastic day.
Well, it always is, and we don't know if we should be prepared for euphoria or disappointment or both. That's the beauty of the paramutual system. As I've referenced, you know, as we drew the cards early in the week, and then on Tuesday, the fabulously fun draw at Citi Field, which was met with widespread positive reception. That was really fun. And here it is. And one of the things that you have, you know, at the time when you announced that the Triple Crown was going to commission a new trophy with NYRA's initiative, I thought, what do we need a new trophy for? But as it turns out, you found the right guy in Roberto and have fashioned, I mean, a strikingly modern piece that also has ties to the original Triple Crown trophy that we've seen for years, the inverted triangle pyramid. And first, how did you even find Roberto?
Well, Roberto is a world-acclaimed sculptor. In fact, I could go into his background, but he's won international awards in Europe. He does fantastic work. You may recall that I was the chief operating officer at Toys R Us, mm-hmm. and we moved into new corporate headquarters. And to signify the fact that we are there for the children and that we are a world power, we wanted to have a sculpture there in the plaza area to remind all of our folks of our mission. And we commissioned Roberto, and he came up with the most incredible and clever piece. It was looking at the world through the eye of a child. And what he did was he created this, in effect, a pupil. And so on one side, you saw this pupil the iris, and he had created toys, and so you could look at this iris and you could see the reflection of toys.
Oh wow!
On the concave side, right. He created the continents of the world with Lego blocks. So it was very clever, and so that kind of creativity and ingenuity was such that I reached out to him to say, "Would you be interested in doing something like this?" He said yes, and then we met with the leaders of Churchill Downs and the Stronach Group. They liked his idea, and the rest is history.
Unbelievable. And for you, Roberto, this opportunity and to have in this arena, as opposed to a sculpture that is a work of art on display. And not that a sculpture can't travel, but you know, we think of sculpture more as a permanent fixture. How did you anticipate this? Talk about the process and the research and what you were trying to do with this.
Well, Steve, you know, it starts out when I got the call from Chris, and he said, you know, are you interested in doing something that hundreds of thousands of people will see, you know, racing fans all over the world? And I said, absolutely. I think I could come up with something that would be appropriate for the Triple Crown. And the way it starts is, you know, I do some very serious design sketches and things like that, and at the same time I start doing research historically on racing and thoroughbreds in general, so that I would really understand what was the real meaning behind this trophy, you know, and why is it so important. And in that research, I realized that this is the hardest trophy to win in the world, the most difficult in the world, period. And so when I looked at the trophy that they had in the past, which was a beautiful trophy from 1953, I looked at it and I said, you know, that was 1953, and that was wonderful, but we're in the year 2018, and we need to move up the notch a couple notches, you know, to actually get it so that it felt like a celebration.
And the piece, and I'll put a picture up of it. What's interesting is at the time in '53, that piece was modern. For all intents and purposes, it had a certain streamlined feel to it, and almost some Art Deco undertones, but at the same time, you know, kind of forward, you know, post-war feel to it.
Right.
This, you know, this has got the appreciation of history in terms of some of the classic trophy motif, but the materials and the image is ultra modern. It's really a triumph.
Right. Well, you know, I wanted to create something that that broke away from the norm, so that it had such an individual feeling to it, but I wanted to really respect the history of the trophy. So the three-sided trophy that was from 1953, I thought, wouldn't it be interesting if we could take that as a beginning and then work with that and see what we could do? And you know, one of the things I thought about is that this is the Triple Crown for thoroughbreds. Where's the horse?
Yep.
That became, you know, one of the main goals is the horse is the most important entity, of course the jockey as well, but the idea of the horse, and I didn't see that in the older trophy, and so it made me feel that, okay, well, you know, what kind of horse do I put up there? You know, what is a winning horse? And after having long conversations with Chris Kay, you know, about this, we decided that we would go and look really seriously at all of the great winners, and I would build a horse that would actually be a composite of all of the great, physically of all the great horses, so that when people looked at it, they would say, that's a winning horse.
And that's a great point, that it also reflects the elegance of a thoroughbred, the elegance of a racehorse. The old trophy was kind of squat and didn't have the same, you know, didn't have that same reflection of you know, of a horse from that standpoint. Absolutely. Well, it may get presented tomorrow, or it may have to take on the role of lady in waiting, as it were.
That's true.
You know, to go back to the horse, when you see some of the sculptures around at various racetracks, they're relatively bland. When you look at the musculature that Roberto has captured in this horse, it's magnificent. It really is. And I think that may have been the challenge in the past and why it was never done. And I salute Roberto for taking that challenge and coming up with something that is truly timeless and will be cherished by anyone who happens to win this award going forward.
Will the winners get this one and then have a new one commissioned, or is there going to be a replica made for Winning Connections when they do win a crown?
It will be the latter. So there will be a Winning Connection. So this is 36 and a half inches tall. There will be an owner's at 26 inches and an 18-inch for the trainer.
Like they do with the Derby trophy, the miniature.
And what we do for the Belmont.
Absolutely.
And then that way, this trophy, the permanent trophy, will rotate from track to track. And so this is way for us to encourage fans to come to the various tracks and get your picture taken. And, of course, as you know, if you get your picture taken, you can get your picture taken alongside the trophy, or you can get in front of the trophy and take a selfie where your visage is captured in the reflection of the silver.
Very cool. You said that the other night, and I went up and looked at it, and I saw what you meant. I'm like, well, how does that work? I don't know if this is going to turn into the Stanley Cup, where the members of the team, and of course, congratulations to the Capitals, and there is the very distinct horse industry connection to the Capitals winning. The late Arnie Heft, the former co-owner of the Caps, and Arnie and Sylvia, and we're thinking about Tim Keefe and Ate Too Fast to Catch, the Maryland bred that named for Ovechkin that Arnie Heft campaigned.
Well, we've got a horse running in the Belmont called Vina Rosa, owned by the owner of the Florida Panthers, Vinny Viola.
Hockey, for some reason, we got Eddie Olczyk on TV, and there's a lot of harmony between hockey and racing. The Cup, of course, has had all kinds of crazy hijinks, being left in a cab and guys bathing their baby in the cup. There's all kinds of it's really something very cool. Actually, the Stanley Cup gets passed to every player on the team. They get to spend a week with it. It's a great tradition and a new tradition born here. And since we're talking hockey, Chris, let me spend just a couple of minutes before we wrap up, give everybody an update on where we stand. I did not realize until I came down these 10 days that the community there is some resistance from community groups that are making a little bit of noise about the Islanders coming.
I think it's very minimal.
All right.
I think the fact of the matter is that the Islanders have been great in terms of their community outreach. It's very nice that some people have said, "Well, what about the Islanders coming? We don't want to make sure. We want to make sure that Belmont Park is protected," which I thought was very nice. But no, we have a great partnership with the Islanders. Most people, the vast majority, are on board. The Islanders have been very receptive to the neighborhoods, and it's going to be something truly spectacular. This will be the best sports entertainment district in America when it is finished.
It'll certainly be unique, and we'll you and I will have chances at Saratoga to kind of talk about a lot of long-term strategic planning, because we were hopeful when we talked at the time of the announcement that all those I's were going to get dotted and T's were going to get crossed in terms of there's already the certain things in motion at Aqueduct with the addition of the second turf course, knowing that there's going to be a period during Belmont's renovation, and a lot of this, the future of racing in New York will solidify and crystallize when all these plans come together.
They will. And there's a lot of planning that has to be completed. We've done some already. But I think at the end of the day, we're going to be here at the center of what will probably be over a $2 billion investment in a destination. And so we will have something here for everyone. And for all those people that were not brought to the track when they were kids, now they'll come. They may come for a hockey game. They may come for a concert. But they'll check it out, and they'll realize we're not the way people think of horse racing 60 years ago. Just like we have a new trophy, we also have a new approach. It's all about the fun. And I think it's going to be great for our sport.
Well, and this building, of course, it really does need a renovation. It's been half a century. And the game has changed in certain needs, and certainly all you have to do is go to Citi Field or to Yankee Stadium and see how the transition from old Yankee Stadium to new and from Shea to Citi Field, and the demand for luxury boxes and the various elements that is just as true here, and there's so much better potential use of a refashioned Belmont, but those decisions still pending, and we'll talk more. Saratoga, meanwhile, things look poised for a tremendous summer, and that includes down at the end of the grandstand. And I am stunned to have found out while I'm here that the new top of the stretch area, utilizing what was really quiet space at the end of the grandstand, is almost sold out for the season?
Yeah, it is sold out in terms of the fact that we said we're going to offer certain season passes, or season tickets, and we sold out all of our tickets within 3 weeks.
Unbelievable.
But we did say we don't want to sell everything out. We want to hold some for daily sale.
Sure.
So in that regard, we still have some days that we haven't sold. But it has been a phenomenal success. And I'll tell you why. First off, it's restricted access. Second, it is the ultimate party. You've got your own kitchen. You're going to be able to sit down no matter where you are. We got certain areas with banquettes. Certain areas where you have a half moon table and you walk down two seats to your seats. It's all about the social. There's no dress code. And you, for every two seats, there's a 15-inch iPad. So you can buy tickets, you can bet on Naira Bets, you can order food and have it delivered to your seat. At the end of the day, you could call Uber. During the day of the races, you can watch television, you can watch our races, you can watch Naira Now, or you can watch a movie. I mean, you can do anything in this area.
Well, so basically it is kind of a premium premium seating and premium amenities that, you know, that you wouldn't have expected at Saratoga, and you've tried to figure out ways to incorporate. And, of course, the Paul Roberts designs for the clubhouse side also seemingly those plans moving forward.
Right. First off, the stretch, though. The idea here is to go after the millennials. So I talked about all those people that did not get brought to the track when they were kids. Now we're saying, come and see this place because you're going to have a lot of fun. And that's why it's been so popular. Now, so that will be opening on July 20th, on opening day. And then at the conclusion of the meet, the day after Labor Day, we're going to start work to begin the construction of a three-story building that is somewhat different from the Paul Roberts design. We're going to have an 11,000-square-foot kitchen in the basement. The original plan was to have the kitchen in a different building. I wanted to have it in the same building.
Yeah.
And then we're going to have on the first floor a banquet space, and we've angled it so that there's a better view of the finish line from this beautiful facility. The second floor will have a combination. We'll have an area for 100 or 140 people to have lunch. And so if you had an alumni group, that's great. But the real idea here is let's go to syndicate ownerships. Let them bring people and have a great day. And then closer to the clubhouse will be a club, much like you have Legends at Yankee Stadium.
Sure.
So if you have if you're a box owner, you can walk across a bridge and have lunch there in the club area, go back to your box, and then it's, say, 3 or 3:30. If you want to have a cool drink, if it's a hot day, you go back into the air-conditioned space. And the third floor will be six truly outstanding luxury suites.
Well, looking forward, I've only seen the images and some pictures, and still plenty of work to be done. And, of course, a great number of Belmont-based staff will start to make their move Monday, but sooner, maybe even Sunday. There'll be the focus shifts in a lot of ways to Saratoga. Meanwhile, though, Chris, best of luck to everybody. And all the years I've come to Belmont's and Triple Crown tries, and you know the buzz of activity that prepares to to make it a magical day. Hopefully tomorrow, and it feels like all the elements are in place and potentially. Potentially to have Roberto Santos' new Triple Crown trophy presented maybe at the end of the day, or, well, after the 11th anyway. There'll be two more races after, but the 11th anyhow. And congratulations, Roberto, on a beautiful piece that will contribute to the history of racing. And, Chris, best of luck and thanks as always.
Thank you. You know, we are also very excited about how this Belmont Stakes Racing Festival has grown.
Oh, yeah.
We had great racing yesterday. We're going to have great racing today. Last year, our handle for Thursday and Friday was up 33% over the preceding year. So these cards on Friday and now Thursday are really getting to be strong.
No doubt.
And so we're looking forward to the whole weekend. And then, you know, again, we have another big event before we go to Saratoga,
Stars and Stripes.
So we're going to keep our eyes glued onto Belmont for several more weeks, but we look forward to everybody coming up to Saratoga as well.
Well, and everybody that's making your way here, safe travels. And Chris, thanks.
We got tickets.
A couple of times. How many do we GA?
Probably, yeah, GA tickets. We also have a couple of fine dining tickets still left. Not many, but a few. So give us a call or go to naira.com or belmontstakes.com because we still have some tickets available.
All right. Tremendous. And visit Roberto's website, too, robertosanto.com, where you can see just the incredible work. And I'll put up a picture of the trophy. And we're going to take a break here. Top of the hour, we'll come back. Hammer and Jimmy Ventura are right in front of me. They're going to join us. We've got Nick Tamaro and team on the way, Ed DeRosa, and we'll bring Scully in with him as well. So hour one in the books from Belmont Park. I almost said Saratoga. I always said from Saratoga. I'm not focused on Saratoga, but I'd be nice to be home, actually, for 2 months. Back after this. Sirius XM at the races. Belmont Stakes. Triple Crown preview. Back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Saturday, June 9th at Belmont Park, Kentucky Derby and Preakness winner Justify will be favored to become the 13th Triple Crown winner in history. Where should your money go? The 150th Belmont Stakes promises to be a historic event, producing possibly potent exotic payoffs. That's why now, more than ever, you need ExpressBet's free Belmont Wager Guide. It's available at ExpressBet.com beginning Friday, June 1st, and includes expert selections, analysis, and suggested $100 wagering strategies from some of the game's sharpest handicappers, writers, and broadcasters. Plus, you'll get important stats and trends you won't find anywhere else. Check back Belmont Week for daily updates, Johnny D's insightful horse-by-horse analysis, and a revised guide, including Eddie O's picks available Friday, June 8th. Visit ExpressBet.com to access the free Belmont Wager Guide to open a new account, including up to a $500 bonus, and to check out special Belmont Stakes offers and promotions.
Account wagering is not permitted in all states. National Problem Gambling Support Line, 1-800-522-4700.
Hi, this is retired race caller Tom Durkin. So, after this year's Derby, I stopped by Top Round Roast Beef on Shelbyville Road in St. Matthews. I got two sandwiches, one for back at the hotel and another for the trip back home to New York. The first one was so good, I had the other one right there. Certified Angus beef, roasted 5 hours, each one made to order. You can taste the difference. Top Round Roast Beef, Shelbyville Road, St. Matthews. Tell them Tom Durkin sent you. Oh, by the way, try the frozen custard too.
This is Steve Cole from the Cole Ranch, a horse farm and training center located in California. We offer folks the chance to join hands with us to own a young racehorse from our farm. We're dramatically different compared to most popular racing partnerships because we don't charge fees or commissions, and we don't inflate the value of the horse. Most racing partnerships buy a horse at auction for, say, $100,000, then turn around and sell shares for $200,000. We value our horses realistically and don't add on fees or commissions. Right now, Cole Ranch is selling shares in a 2-year-old Calbred colt named Mr. Wickham. He's by Heatseeker out of Serena's Echo, our stakes producing mare, who is a full sister to multimillionaire Thor's Echo. You can get into this horse for as little as $1,000, which will entitle you to a 5% interest. If you want to invest in this horse, please call me at area code 805-990-3669 or visit us on the web at thecoleranch.com.